I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of Romans, and the chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Let's follow the reading of God's Word, please. Romans chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's read the Word of God, please. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. A few Sunday evenings ago, we asked the question that was asked in the book of Job, how should man be just with God? And over in that same book, it says, how then can man be justified with God? In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified, we have peace with God, or being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to consider this evening the answer of the Scriptures concerning the great doctrine of our justification. I want us to think this evening of just a few points in this service. First of all, the very source of our justification. The source of our justification. Now the backcloth or the background of man is this, and his justification is his sinfulness. The Bible tells us that man is sinful, man is polluted, man is vile, man is unworthy, is helpless, is hopeless. He's walking down the pathway which will lead him to hell. In other words, man of himself is totally, and he is absolutely, and he is completely depraved. There is nothing good in him. From the very crown of his head to the very sole of his foot, there is naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have never been bound up, neither can they be of themselves mollified with ointment. And yet, my friend, whilst it's true that man is in that awful state of his depravity, notice what it says in verse 8 of this chapter 5, but God, but God. Now that's the source, this verse that I want us to notice. God, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there, I believe, is the very source of our justification. And the source of our justification is the ocean of God's unfathomable love. Humanly speaking, it is absolutely impossible for man to be reconciled to God. It is absolutely impossible for man to be justified in the sight of God, but God. But God can do it, because with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I think of John 3:16, the lovely verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whenever Spurgeon was looking at that word, so loved, he said this. He said, come ye surveyors, bring your chains, and try to make a survey of this word. Nay, that is not enough. Come hither, ye that make our national surveys, and lay down your charts for all nations. Come, ye who map the sea and land, and make a chart of this word. Nay, I must go further. Come hither, ye astronomers, that with your optic glasses spy out spaces before which imagination staggers. Come hither and encounter calculations worthy of all your powers. And then he said this, and when ye have measured between horns and space, here is a task that will defy you. God so loved the world. It was F.M. Lehman who wrote the words of that great hymn, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell." I told you before that when he was writing the words of that lovely hymn, he wrote two verses, and somehow in his heart he still could not be satisfied that the hymn was finished. He wrote those opening words, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God give his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from their sins." And then he put the chorus, "O love of God, rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." He wrestled, but he couldn't get the third verse, and yet he believed there was a third verse that had to be to finish that hymn. And then he remembered that once he received a card, and on that card was a little poem, and these were the words, "Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that was stretched from sky to sky." And as he looked upon those words, he remembered that those words were etched upon the wall of a prison cell some 200 years earlier. The prisoner incarcerated was totally unknown. The circumstances of the writing of those words was totally unknown. And yet as he looked at those words, "Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." And that's the third verse of Lehman's hymn, "The Love of God." Friends, let me tell you this. When we think of the source of our justification, it is the love of God. When Paul was writing in the book of Ephesians, he talked about the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of the love of God. And you know, whenever we think about that, the love of God, God so loved us. The height of God's love is beyond comparison. The great preacher F.B. Meyers said, "You can no more define the essence of love than you can define the essence of God. You can define its effects and fruits. No earthly comparison surpasses the love of God. A mother's love is a blessing, and yet it does not explain, nor does it surpass the love that God has for sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us. A father's love is a wonderful love, and yet it surpasses not the love of God. Neither can it adequately illustrate the love of God. The love of a child is a tremendous love, and what joy it brings to a father or mother's heart when they put the arm around the neck and look into your eyes and say, 'Mommy, Daddy, I love you.' And yet it pales into insignificance, for the height of God's love is beyond comparison. I think of the depths of his love. And the depths of God's love is beyond condition. Listen, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, depraved, disgraced, defiled sinners, in spite of who we are,
God did not love me because I was lovely. God did not love the world because it was beautiful. God loved the world of sinners lost. Lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers free to all. The depths of the love of God is beyond condition. The breadth of the love of God is beyond confinement. Whosoever believeth on Him, the Bible says, should not perish. We sing the little chorus, God loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. Yes, all are precious in God's sight. And let me tell you, my friend, whether you be Jew or Gentile, whether you be Oriental, whoever you are tonight, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You see, its breadth is beyond confinement. It reached to that man in the prison cell. It reached, my friend, to the slums. It reaches to the filthy dens of society as well as to the palace or to the throne. It reaches to the whosoever. It reaches to the depths of the darkest night of sin. The breadth of God's love is beyond confinement. Aye, and thank God the length of God's love is beyond conclusion. Because He said in Jeremiah, He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I just wonder why He ever could love me. For I was nothing else, only a sinner, condemned, unclean. And yet, thank God, in the midst of the darkness of man's depravity, there ariseth the heavenly light of God's love. In 2 Samuel 14:14 it says this, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt in the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither doth God respect any person. Yet, doth God devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. God has devised a means. The source of our justification. Thank God the brightness of God's love is magnified as we lay it against the blackness of man's sin and man's depravity. But secondly, we come to the secret of our justification. You'll notice that this chapter 5 is divided in two. The first 11 verses stand on their own, and we read them tonight, commencing with the words, therefore. In other words, that word there, therefore, in view of all that has been clearly established in what has gone before. In light of that, in view of that, of all the great doctrine that has been expounded and established theretofore, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You notice the second division starts with another word, verse 12. Wherefore? Wherefore is the rest of the chapters. I said to you, the first 11 verses stand on their own. 11, the center of 11. There's 5 on one side, there's 5 on the other. It's the one in the middle. What is it? It is verse 6. And this is what it says. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Here we find in this verse, friend, I believe, the secret of our justification. The very heart of our justification, first of all, displays that it is not of works. Because it says here that when we were yet without strength, when God saved us, when God reached down into the depths of man's depravity and sin to save him from hell and from his sin and his iniquity and set him free, my friend, it was not because of any works that he had done. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, man is absolutely unable to do anything of himself to save himself. Man's religion says, do. God says, done. That's the difference. I want to tell you, here's man striving to do something. Man's religion today is try to do something. Try to appease God. Try to please God. And man tries and he fails. And man will never be able to please God or appease God's holiness and justice, friend of himself, because he cannot. But notice what it says this. This is what it says in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died. Notice the next word. For the ungodly. Now what does that mean? Christ died for the ungodly. For means in behalf of. In behalf of. Christ died in behalf of the ungodly. And what it introduces, my friend, into man's lostness is the great doctrine of substitution. The great doctrine of substitution. The innocent dying for the guilty. The just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. The lawkeeper for the lawbreaker. And having fulfilled the law to its last jot and tittle, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I can say tonight, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my all eternally. Question 33 of the Shorter Catechism asks, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins, and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Friend, that is solid doctrine. It says this, let me quote it again. Justification is an act of God's free grace. It is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for and only because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. The book of Romans chapter 8 asks the question, who is he that justifieth? It is Christ that died. It is God that justifieth. It is not the word of a sovereign, justification. And to justify is not the word of a sovereign, friend. It is the word of a judge. And I will show you in a moment the difference between the word of a sovereign and the word of a judge. You see, our justification takes in the pardon of our sin, but it also means that we are accepted as righteous in God's sight because of the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed or reckoned to us and received by faith alone. The word justified does not mean that one is made just or good or holy or upright. In actual fact, it's the sinner that is justified. It is a judicial act of God whereby he declares us justified. He declares us justified. You see, regeneration is the change of our nature. Justification is the change of our standing. It's the change of our status before God. God declares, it's the word of a judge, a judicial act, where God makes this declaration on a just and on a legal basis, that being the crediting or the reckoning of the righteousness of our great representative, our great surety, Jesus Christ, to us. I said it's different, the word is different than the word of a sovereign. Let me explain that to you. Justification is not mere pardon. Yes, God pardons our sins, that's right. But you see, a sovereign could pardon. In actual fact, you've often heard it, the royal prerogative of mercy. And what happens whenever the royal prerogative of mercy is given? It means that a prisoner can be set free because the royal prerogative is to exercise mercy. It's resting on consideration of mercy. And therefore, what is happening really? The penalty for sin is remitted. And a person has had an act of mercy. That's the word of a sovereign. That's the prerogative of a sovereign. But that's not what justify means. It's not the word of a sovereign. It is the word or the act of a judge. And the judge relaxes not the law. The law has to be fulfilled in its strictest sense. When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, my friend, the law was not relaxed to let you may go free. Christ fulfilled and fully satisfied divine justice. No penalty was wavered. No penalty was wavered. There wasn't the exercise of the royal prerogative of mercy. But the Lord Jesus Christ, my surety, my substitute, my Savior, glory to God by His perfect obedience and by His sacrifice of Himself, fully satisfied divine justice. And He purchased not only salvation for me and reconciliation, but an eternal and everlasting inheritance for us in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, justification, as I finish this secret of justification proceeds from the imputation or the crediting to the believer by God of the righteousness of His great surety, Jesus Christ. The crediting or the reckoning or the imputation to the believer by God of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And therefore the essence of justification is that a man is pronounced, he's declared to be possessed of righteousness which satisfies the law fully. That's the secret of our justification. I say to every child of God, you rejoice in this fact. We are justified by His blood. You see, His blood not only provides cleansing for me, thank God it provides clothing for me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus, thank God, provides cleansing for me. But thank God we are made right. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. There is a provision not only of cleansing, but thank God, a clothing. Yes, the source of our justification. Yes, we have the secret of our justification. Thirdly, the securing of our justification. Go to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You see, justification is a spiritual work. It's not a sacramental work. In other words, it's a heart work rather than a head work. It's a heart experience. Justification is an outward change of our standing before God rather than the outward change of our standing before man. See, there's a difference between justification and sanctification. Sanctification, there is a change in our standing or our living before man. We die day by day. We die more and more unto sin and we live more and more unto righteousness. Sanctification. But justification is an inward change. It's the inward change of our standing before God. And by justification, the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to be mine. And thank God that's secured in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Once I was condemned, but thank God now I'm justified. Once I was overshadowed
by the wrath of God, and thank God now tonight I'm overwhelmed by the love of God. And when I believe the gospel, and when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, friend, the Holy Spirit seals me. And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the love of God is thereby shed abroad in my heart. The Holy Ghost given to us as believers, my friend, is God's pledge. God's pledge that on that great day I shall be eternally declared righteous before heaven, before earth, and before hell. And God has given me that pledge and that token because the Holy Spirit's a seal. Turn just for a moment, Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says there in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is the seal, is the token, is the pledge. Now, that one day I shall publicly be declared righteous through the righteousness of Christ alone. I read a little verse again this week. Soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, for I was born of God. The securing of my justification. But quickly, the simplicity of our justification. Notice in verse number 1 of the same chapter, it says, therefore, being justified by what? By faith. Being justified by faith. The little acrostic of the word faith, there are five little letters. F-A-I-T-H. The little acrostic is very simple. F, forsaking. A, all. I, T, take. Or trust. H, Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And by faith, my friends, the soul cries out, I trust no one else but Jesus Christ. Faith wants nothing, wants no one but Jesus. Faith is abandonment to Christ, but abandonment according to knowledge, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all, in Thee I find. Will you, by simple faith tonight, receive the Savior? And in receiving Him, as many as receive Him, to them give He the power, the authority, the privilege, the honor, to become the sons or the daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. But thank God that's not all. We have the source and the secret. Aye, and we have the simplicity of our faith, or our justification, and the securing of our justification. But thank God, lastly, the song of our justification. Notice verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, listen to this, we have peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a song tonight. What a song my new standing, my new state before God brings. Peace with God. In other words, in my justification, the sin question is settled.
What reconciliation? Reconciled to God by the blood of His cross. I was once a rebel. I was once in rebellion in my sin. I was as brazen as hell in my sinfulness. But thank God the rebel has been brought home. I have been brought nigh through the blood of Christ. Oh, what reconciliation. Peace with God. What rest. I was thinking of that, you know. Peace of conscience. Because, you know, the tragedy is this. There are multitudes tonight that carry within their own breast the accuser of conscience. But thank God when we have peace with God, we have peace of conscience, we have peace of mind, we have peace of soul. Being justified by faith. Notice, we have peace with God. What reality. I asked you tonight before God, as I draw the service to a close, do you know what I'm talking about? Honestly, have you peace with God? Can you lay your head upon the pillow tonight and know that if the Lord is to come or to call, it's all well? That as you face tomorrow, whatever the situation is, whatever the trial or trouble is, that you have peace in your soul to know that you've been reconciled to God, that you have the standing of justification, just as if you never had sinned, through the blood of Christ and through that once for all finished work of Jesus. We sang the hymn tonight, O Christ, what burdens bow thy head? Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's place, didst bear all ill for me, a victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there is no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup, O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop, 'tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God, there's not one stroke for me. Not powerful? Have you not rest tonight to think of that? Thy tears, thy blood beneath it flowed, thy bruising healeth me. And then the verse you didn't sing was this. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood, the flaming blade must slake. Thy heart, its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. The Father lifted his sword of his righteousness and judgment and plunged it into the bosom of his Son. And Jesus died, the just one, for me, the unjust, that he might bring me to God. Thank God, all for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. I can face tomorrow. Because thank God I'm justified by faith. I'll do something else, friend. I face the day when man shall stand before a righteous and a holy God. And I'm nothing of myself but a sinner that God has saved. But I face the day when the books are open. And I stand clothed in the perfect, pure righteousness of Christ.
And thank God on that great day it will be declared that I am justified through God's Son. What a standing. What a source. What a secret. What a securing. What a simplicity. By faith. Oh, what a song. Peace with God. Many tonight there are, and there's an ache in their heart because they know nothing of peace within. Friend, come and welcome to Jesus. Rest on His finished work. Shelter neath His blood. And thank God you'll have peace with God. Praise His name.